Go Loud.
Talking Bollocks with FBT Gyms. Unleash your fitness potential with no contract and full class access. FBTGyms.ie.
Go Loud. Sounds better with us.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your weight in the ground. Tell your body okay. Walk it hard and slow. When you finish that.
The hip knocker.
Just before we get started, you have to mention our biggest ever live show, July 11th, Bord Gáis Energy Theatre. It's a Friday night.
Is it, yeah? And TBX members are going to be the force that can get their hands on them. So if you're a TBX member, check your emails. There's going to be a chance there for you to get first dibs at tickets. And yeah, our biggest show to date, Bord Gáis, Friday, July 11th. Go on, get us our tickets as soon as you can.
Right, kick us off then, 30.
Should we get going?
Yeah,
what episode number are we?
216. What? Really? That was 2 or 3. What are we on now, 30?
216, Tom, yeah.
The admin here is kicking in.
Ah.
Hey, he has a good read on me, doesn't he?
Yeah.
215.
Yeah, we're all over the place, Tom. And you've been giving Terrence a lot of, I don't know, you'd be great to play poker with Terrence.
Oh, Jesus.
You take him to the cleaners.
I would take that tracksuit off you. I'm telling you now. Yeah. Like, you're going home naked. Like. Yeah. You are going home.
What did he say when I burst in the door?
So, will we tell him what was happening when Terrence thought it was a leak?
Oh, he thought it was raining inside.
Yeah, he thought. Yeah.
But what did you say? He said, what did he say? He lifted me up.
He was like, do we have to explain the concept of pissing rain, Terrence?
Yeah. The most Irish looking fella in the room, like, Jesus Christ, Terrence. You have a PhD in rain. He walks in going, is it fucking raining? What? Inside a studio, indoors with a roof on it.
Yeah, he's on me case since he came in. But anyways, episode 215 of Talking Bollocks brought to you by Go Loud.
Quick shout out to our sponsor, FBT. When we started this podcast, I think we thought it would only be people from the inner city who'd listen.
I know, and now we have listeners all over the place, even as far as Talla.
Sorry to hear.
So this is a message to everyone in Talla. FBT Gym have opened up their new state-of-the-art location now, offering not only top-of-the-line equipment, but also resources, classes, and events that will help you build connection among members and an overall support of the fitness community.
And if you're lucky enough not to live in Talla, why not join one of their other locations in Swords, Coolock, or Drogheda?
Do these locations have the classes and supportive community as well?
Of course. That's what FBT Gyms are all about. They also offer personal training, heated chamber classes, and a HYROX affiliated.
Unleash your potential at FBT Gym for only €44 a month with no contract, full class access and locations in Swords, Coolock, Drogheda and now Talla.
Sign up at fbtgyms.ie today.
It's me, Terry Flower.
Me, COB.
And this week we're joined by...
Tom O'Mahony.
Tom, what's the crack?
I was at downstairs and there's a lovely woman behind the counter. I went, how are you? I said, I'm here to see the boys talking bollocks. And she goes, what? What do you say? She was Eastern European. She says, I don't understand. I said, talking bollocks. Oh, sorry, talking bollocks. Oh, yes, I know now. Let's go, fifth floor. She just dragged me into a side. Lads, I could have been locked under her stairs.
And she's only new, and I only say hello and goodbye to her. I've never actually introduced myself to her. Lovely woman.
So she sounds.
It's when she stands up, though.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't get smart, really.
No. You call her sir when she looks directly at you. Yeah. You don't mess with a woman that's over 6 foot, like, and just catch me by the neck and throw me into the lift. I take you to see boys, the bollocks boys. I said, lovely, let's go see the bollocks boys.
Bang me, goes I'm outside. I was like, come on in then.
Fucking pissing rain.
Standing out there on the rain.
Yeah, the fucking door was locked. Have you explained your concept now to a locked door? You can't just walk through them. Like.
There was a receptionist.
Inside the fucking door.
Give her a wave, I'm waiting to come in.
Bang on the door.
Yeah.
A little knock. We have to explain the concept of knocking on the door to you, Tom.
The last thing we should be explaining to comedians is knock, knock.
Don't you fucking start. Don't you start that shit with me.
Do you know what I love about you as well, Tom? Your initials are Tom.
One of the first people to spot that in a long time. People get surprised when they find it out. They're like, ah, Tom. T-O. Yeah, my parents weren't expecting a lot from me in all fairness. Like when they named. I sat beside a young fella all through school called Bob O'Brien.
There you go.
Simple, lads. Simple. Keep it fucking simple. Don't be messing around with names. I know. It's. I named the new tour Oh My Honey, and it seems to be... She was perplexing people, and only if the foreigners seem to get it, because it's like...
Oh, Manny.
That's how I say your name.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I say... Because... Oh, no.
Here we go. The wheels are turning.
The wheels are turning out.
I don't think that does spell that.
Oh, my honey.
Oh, sorry.
Even Sean's laughing outside going, oh, Christ above. He's
I thought he said, oh, my honey. I was like, is there a why?
Yeah.
Sorry, Tom.
Anyway, we'll circle back to that. Don't worry, we'll circle back.
Make a note of that.
Anyways, Tom, we always start an episode of this podcast with a zinger.
Love.
Have you ever listened to an episode?
Yeah. Of course, just my friends.
Yeah, obviously. Every single comedian.
Anyways, a zinger is like an either or a would you rather. Yeah. So I'm at the getting one there.
Grant.
Would you rather play to an audience that's too dry or an audience that's too drunk?
Too drunk. I can do something with that. And I've done something with that. I used to gig all the time in Jobstown. Do you know what I mean? So yeah. I know what I'm dealing with. Like, wild. I'll get down into him, take my shirt off, start licking an old woman's face, whatever has to happen. But you can do something with that.
Yeah.
But when you're doing a corporate and everybody just hates you and hates the company to even work for it, there's nothing you can do with that. You're like, listen, you bastards, I'm getting paid. We're doing this.
Yeah.
I've had mental breakdowns on the edge of the stage going, this will get nasty now. This will get nasty. I will, you know, this will go into insolvency by the time I'm fucking done with these cracks if you don't start piping up.
Why do you steal them, Tom? Every comedian that's in
here. Money. That's all you do them for.
No, but surely it can't be worth
it. Ah, no, it is corporate.
Is it?
Yeah.
It is, yeah. Because you come away kind of winning because you're like, well, I just, you know, I rinsed them for that one. Like, you know, and you do. But you wouldn't take it. That wouldn't be why you do comedy. Like, you know what I mean? You do it for the crack.
Yeah.
Because it's the best crack you'll ever have in a working position you can ever do. But you take the corporates every so often because it's like, hell, this is money for rope, like, you know what I mean?
Money.
But no one has ever had a good experience.
You can have some, like, if you genuinely now, I've kind of aligned myself with a few companies, and there's a crowd that do the booking that kind of only align themselves with companies that are good crack, if you know what I mean? Like, they have a bit of a loosey-goosey vibe to them, like, and there's, you know, they're not putting people in position where comedy never works when it's where it shouldn't be. You know what I mean? Like, so. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? If you're in with a load of lads, they're all scientists or whatever, and, you know, they're telling me, and my stuff now wouldn't be the softest on the planet. Like, you know what I mean? They're telling me to go, well, I'm not changing, you know, and all of a sudden they're tweeting about me halfway through the set, going, this fellow with the moustache is fucking up our life.
Yeah, can we talk about the moustache?
You can.
Yeah, the handlebars. Yeah, rocking it.
Do you know what? It was a dare. The missus dared me to grow. I had a big beard, right, during lockdown, like, just whatever. Like, and I shaved it off and left just this bit, just... She's like, you should leave that for the crack. I went, go wait. Look at the fucking heck of it. Like, but then I started to get attracted to it. I was like, yeah, I'm fucking digging this. And the weird thing is, no woman will notice this mustache. Every bloke, they'll go, some fucking mustache.
Yeah, I'm jealous. I'm sitting here talking.
Some mustache. Like, if that was the way I split my timber, I'd get some amount of men. You know what I mean? But it's not, unfortunately. It's complete dead air. You know, no woman will even notice it, let alone compliment you on it. Like,
you look like your man of, what was the fucking...
Exotic Joe.
Joe Exotic.
I never seen that now, but I seen a clip of you when you were the image of him.
Oh yeah. That was all again, a fucking dare with the mullet, the whole lot was. And then the Tiger King came out and I said, I'm cutting it off. And she herself has gone, don't, I fucking dare you. 1 month, just keep it from 1 month. Kept it for about, I'd say about 4 months. And then all of a sudden, I started meeting young fellas in GA jerseys coming over with mullets going, class here. I'm like, this fucking shit is coming off. I got to cut it off now if it's become fashionable. I was trying to be a dickhead, like, having a mullet and a big stupid moustache. And then young fellas were going, no, mullets are class. I'm like, no, they're not. No, they're fucking not. Yeah. They're going. This has to go.
It's all like cultures and rugby players that have mullets. So.
They love them.
Oh, you go to Galway on mullets.
Once you go past that loan, that's
Everywhere. Once you go west, you see, everything is a little bit... behind there, like, they're like, mullets were grand
a little bit,
you know, 3 years ago. It was like grand for four,
but you know what? You get them credit that a Billy Ray Cyrus mullet, that a proper mullets, like
some
hick mullets,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Some lads are straightening them and everything, like they're getting them.
Who was your man plays for Ireland has a mullet in the rugby?
Caelan Doris has a mullet, and your man Andrew Porter has a mullet,
yeah. Now, see, I don't know who they are, but I know they have mullets.
But the only thing is, like, if they like. You don't say it to them fellas.
No.
Do you know what I mean? You're going, class haircut. And then you run the other direction, tell your friend, shit haircut. You know, you're not, you're not saying it to Andrew fucking Porter. Like, he looks like something out of a horror movie. You're not saying anything to that fella. Let him have whatever haircut he wants. Do you know what I mean? That's no bother. But yeah, the moustache, I think it was a surprise that it came up two-tone. Everybody goes, like, the amount of blokes who go, are you dying in the bottom bit? I'm like, no, because I'm not mental. Well, like...
Just the bottom of it.
Just the bottom of it. Like, what? Like, I fell in something. Just got up out of a fucking pint of Guinness just there a second ago. Fuck's sake. No, I don't know how long the moustache is going to last, but then I got into a row the other day with a fella. And yeah. And by all accounts, I looked very aggressive with the moustache. And really? Yeah, it was, that's a whole other story about coming out to the property and stuff like that, a fella that shouldn't have been there. But apparently I looked right tough with the moustache, so we're going to keep
fill
it for
us in on that, because I can see Calvin's getting a bit nosy as well.
Yeah.
What happened there?
You can't say...
We're in the mid...
You can't say I had a fight with a fella the other day, but I won't tell you.
Yeah.
Imagine me coming into Terrence and be like, Terrence, yeah, you want to see the digger
yeah,
a fella
you know,
the other day?
Sometimes, that, you know, that sales by, lads. They don't want to get into the row chat, but oh, that's yeah. fine. No, no, a fella showed up to the... We're building a house at the minute, and a fella who had copped showing up before... And eyeballing around the place, caught him on camera. He rocked up again and had the fucker trapped this time. Pulled the fucking van across behind him and knocked on the window. By all accounts, on the camera though, I looked very serious. Like I was going to fuck him up. Like I don't know what I was going to do if he got out to me. Like to be honest with you, I don't know what would happen. But I looked the fucking shit.
Yeah.
I looked the business. But apparently it was all the moustache. That was very threatening fucking moustache.
It's a mix up between Hulk Hogan and your man off. What is that show? Is it American Chopper? You know the one? Is it
oh
American
yeah,
Chopper?
Yeah, I'll take that.
You know the one I'm
yeah,
talking about?
I'll take that. Paul yeah. Tuttle.
Don't know his
yeah,
name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. American Chopper. You're right.
American
yeah,
Chopper
yeah.
and Hulk Hogan. Yeah.
I fucking take that.
Yeah, they're yeah. the only people I know that has to handle my moustache now.
I don't know how long it's going to stay.
There was talks of you doing it for November before, remember?
Yeah, but I can't do that.
You could try. You've got to have. No, there's something going there.
There's a bit of a goatee going on there.
No, there is.
You also have to use a shave around it.
I reckon you should. I reckon you should.
Put it out
to the... I tell you, we should put a poll out to your listeners.
There you go. Yeah. There's a thing.
We put it side by side with myself and yourself. And you go, should he? And I guarantee it, it'll be a landslide, yeah. Landslide? How cool would that be?
Imagine me.
And all you have to do is just like, if you don't like it, shave it.
Yeah, but I don't want to be fully bald either.
No, you trim it down to...
Yeah, leave a bit of stubble on.
You leave a bit of stubble and then you just trim that off.
Let this forest grow out, you know what I mean? Let it fucking take it out.
We had to get in here.
I don't know. We haven't said anything at all in the last 10 minutes. Just pure shite talk.
Yeah.
Talking bollocks.
Yeah, this
literally.
That's what
we beautiful
do.
Stuff.
Well, the audience, that's where we were at.
Oh, yeah.
You said too dry, too drunk.
I want the two drunk ones. Yeah, yeah. No, I want
the dry one's bad, is it?
Mm.
There's not a, like, you have to do some fucking digging to get something up out of a fucking dry one. But I'll do it all the same. Like, I'll find a weak crack somewhere and I'll fucking get something out of you somewhere, yeah. You bastards. Like, I don't care. I'm going in, like, and we're all doing this together, one or the other. And you either better start liking it or it's going to be a rough 45 minutes.
He could be the only fella we've ever had on from Tip.
Am I? There's only a few of us.
Clonmel.
That's definitely Tipperary, yeah.
Is that you?
No. I'm way more. Yeah, I wouldn't be far from it. Like, I wouldn't, right. like, 20 minutes from it, like, but...
I just took a guess there.
That was a decent shot.
Was it a good guess?
You could have said...
yeah, what were
you could have fucking said, like, fucking Munich.
Ipswich.
Munich. And I would have went, he took a shot. He took a shot. Clonmel, not bad.
Yeah, no, family in Clonmel.
Oh, right. Yeah,
loads of cultures, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Anyways.
To be fair, there is a right. Like, I'm getting that vibe off you. There's definitely culture blood in there. Like.
Why?
I, do you know, you look like you'd go at something. Do you know what I mean? Like a city-bound, like, you have a nice clean-cut look. You look like you'd go at something. If I caught you doing something, you'd be at it. Do you know what I mean? That's you. That kind of a look, like boldness is fucking through you.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah. You have a good assessment of me.
Yeah. Yeah. You kind of put, to be fair, you wear it all on the outside. I'll give you that. You're an open book.
Yeah. Tom, I seen a clip before of you speaking into the camera, talking about a woman in the IRA or something like that. Do you remember this one?
A woman was
this
in the IRA?
This was a long time ago. You said you met some woman. She was an Elvin. She was in the IRA.
Oh, Jesus Christ. It was only 3 weeks ago in Tip Town. Now, anything can happen in Tip Town.
Just you saying that Terrence looks like a culty and he's an old book, he's easy to read. He's like, I seen a clip of you talking into the camera.
Oh, yeah.
I should hope so. Like, that's how it works.
No, but like, it wasn't like a stand-up clip. I said, yeah. He's just talking.
It was just one of them moments. You know when you meet an out-and-out fucking lunatic / legend and you just have to document it? Like, we have that now with Instagram and TikTok and stuff. But this old one, I was actually putting up posters for my new show in Tip Town, and this old one just comes up. She goes, what are you, a politician or what? I mean... She was the oldest looking owl one you've ever seen. Like, she looked like they'd ploughed her face. Like, it was just fucking... I couldn't tell. Was it drugs or age that had fucked her up? Like, she just was that wrecked, right? She said, yeah, I said, no, comedian. You're right to go up there and fucking be a politician. I went, okay, yeah, fair enough. She goes, I was in the IRA. Apropos of nothing. This is a Sunday. I don't know why it makes any difference what day of the week it is.
I was going to ask you that once.
But she looked like one who'd just come from Mass, like. And she said, I was in the IRA. I went, oh, Jesus. Go away. How I'd 5 guns. She just went off on this fucking story. I'd 5 guns and I'd use them to this day. If I had to shoot a man, I would. I'm like, oh, you coming to the show? What the fuck? do you say to that? Like,
yeah.
She's just tearing into this young one that was wearing a short dress beside us, just saying whatever. Like, just, I can't wait for that day. Do you know the day where you the tipping point?
Where you just get away with,
yeah.
Yeah, you can get away with anything because you're so old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
There's a tipping point where you can't punch granddaddy, you can't punch nanny.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's, they're always out shoplifting and all. Do you ever see them? And they're like, come on now, and they're taking the bread off them, and then they have a 2 litre in the pocket. You know what I mean? And they're like, just let them go. Come here, if you can put a 2 litre in your pocket, you deserve to take it.
100%. Yeah.
But that age, at what age? I don't think it's an actual age. I think it's a state. You know, it's not saying, done, you're 70 now, because I know people in their 60s like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then I know people in their 80s who are fresh.
Yeah.
So it's a state. There's a spectrum there.
I think this one had a lot going on. Like, I don't know if she was old, but she did tell me she was from Limerick and they age differently in Limerick. You know what I mean? Like dog ears kind of stuff. You know, she might have been only 23, for all I know. She was just fucking old. You know?
She was just bollocks.
She was just bollocks.
But how long did it take? I'd tell you she was in the IRA.
Oh, that was 45 seconds in. Like, yeah, we got right there. Like, if we were on a date, we were... if we were on a date, we were going to be going riding by 5 minutes. Like, that's where we were at with this one. Like, she was just, she didn't mess around. Death was around the corner for this one. She had to get her stuff out. There wasn't any build up or nothing. Still don't know her name. She didn't introduce herself at all. Just started barking shit at me.
That's how you know she was in the rat. She'll tell you all you want, but you wouldn't be able to fucking pin her on her. You know what I mean?
Oh,
yeah. She's definitely saying nothing.
She could have walked away and just peeled off like that mask. You know what I mean? Like, she was... There was something, I believed her. That's the thing. Like, I actually believed her. Like, if either one of you went, I was in the rag. All right. But this one,
why
I fucking bought.
Why would you not believe us, Tom?
Yeah. Do you know what? And maybe you're like so far over the edge that maybe there's something believable that maybe you possibly you're. Yeah.
No, I'm not.
No, I know. I love the clarification.
Yeah.
Can we just clarify that, please?
Yeah.
We put a note on that. That'd be great. Definitely not in a terrorist organization. Yeah. No. Not at all.
I just wanted to know why you wouldn't believe we were. But I'm not.
Oh no, you know. Like, to be fair, you know why I wouldn't believe.
Do I?
Ah, gee.
Why are you getting offended by that?
No, dude.
There's absolutely
what do you mean I don't look like I'm in the IRA?
Well, Siobhan, just cut it off.
Look, he's doing his little tail. He has a tail. Look.
Oh, his little tail. He's fucking hairy.
He wipes his eyes.
Now going, I'm half tick that he doesn't think I have the capability to be a terrorist. What's wrong with me? I could be a terrorist as good as the next fella.
Yeah.
Do you ever seen? You ever been to America, Tom?
I have. Yeah.
You look like the type of fella who's never been to America, but been in some states, one of them was.
Yeah.
But it says on it, have you ever been in a terrorist organization when you're filling out the form?
Oh, I love it.
No. You know what I mean? It's just someone's going to go, yeah, you caught me.
Yeah,
fucking hell.
And they take it. So I've been a couple of times, like we did the whole J1 thing, you know what I mean? Once over, like, but it's... They take it so seriously, their job, like, and it's so, and it's in Ireland.
Yeah,
I mean, you're relax, will you? You know what I mean? You just want to tell him.
But he's American, though.
But he's American.
Yeah.
So it's got to be 100%.
So he switched on.
So
it's like dealing with a copper, but he's not a copper.
Oh, no.
Like, I'm like, come on, will you stop acting the bollocks? And you're all right, come on, off you go, and he lets you go. Like, this fella is, like, legit. We'll turn you around in the airport.
Like, they're ready for robots in America because it'll just be a switch out for the same fucking sort of fella.
There is no
personality in the prick at all. Like,
yeah, that's my fun.
Livestock. I have, yeah. I brought the cat. I'm bringing the cat to America with me. Thanks very much.
Like, yeah.
What the fuck? Like, Jesus Christ. You're not messing. Or
no, I'm actually barred.
Are you?
Yeah.
From America?
Yeah. I have to go to the embassy.
All of America has just said no.
Yeah, because...
what did you do?
I went to Cuba. So I'm barred from going to America, yeah.
So you did you go to America and then down to Cuba? Or did you...
No, from I've been to America a lot of times. And haven't been since before COVID. And then I went to Cuba there a couple of years ago. And if you go to Cuba, you're ineligible then from getting a ESTA. So you have to go to the embassy and be like, story. And be like, what were you doing down there? And I was like, I'm your holidays.
Right. Did you know you were going to be barred from Cuba?
Yeah. No, barred from America, yeah.
Oh, barred from America after going to Cuba.
But I wanted to go to Cuba.
Well, you're just done with America. I've seen all I need to see now. That's me. I don't need any more.
Yeah, but like, do you know what I mean? Have a day. Well, like, if you play with him, you're not allowed to play with us. You're not one of them. Fuck off, will you?
That's fucking gas.
Isn't it? In this day and age.
I like it, though. I like that you did it anyway. You're like, Ara, fuck you. I'm going.
I haven't been since, what, 6 years? Be grand. Like, you know what I mean?
Grand.
Yes. I've seen it all. You know what I mean?
What else is there to see at this day? Although I'd say it's fairly wild at the minute. Like, we weren't seeing at the minute. Like, the fucking madness that's going on over there. Like, geez.
In America?
Yeah.
They're not even real people.
No, they're not.
They're not. They're NPCs. They are. What's a 350 million of them? Can't be 350 million unique people in America.
That's right? All. There's about seven.
Yeah.
And, seven types.
And then copy and paste.
That's all. Yeah. That's all it is.
NPCs. Yeah, yeah. That's what they are. Yeah.
I was in Southern Florida one time with the cousin's husband. And he's from that kind of neck of the woods. Real fucking Dukes of Hazzard looking place. Like, and we went to the...
That's where you got the inspiration for the mustache.
It must have been, yeah. It must have been. But we went into this... I don't know, was it a bar or a cafe? You know, just, you want to see the shit they were eating. Like, this isn't like... You're thinking American, like hamburgers. Nah, man. These were proper, built out of poverty fucking spots. Like, big locust fucking chili. Like mad shit. You want some gritlins and they're just naming things. You're going,
cornbread,
That's not off an animal. They're going, it is. We're just not telling you what bit of the animal is. Like, ye fucking savages. Jesus Christ, half the lads going around with no shoes on or nothing. And I don't mean like Crocs. I mean fucking going around with nothing on their feet. Shouting at me going, are you from Scotland? And I'm like, I am, yeah, I am. If that makes life easier for you, that's where I'm from. Yeah, don't you worry about it. There's no.
Where are you actually from, Tom?
Where am I?
Yeah.
It's South Tipperary. Yeah, near where you're saying.
Yeah, whereabouts is this now? Give us a name.
The Glen of Aherlow is the name of it. So it would be the main road between Limerick and Waterford.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So the parish is called Banshee, but it'd be real Galtee Mountains district, like right. Wild fuckers, like wild, loose. Do you know the way you have to worry about actual rules and laws around here?
Ah, yeah, like, that's...
That's out the window.
Oh, it's out the window. Yeah. You handle your own business. You know what I mean? You don't be ringing the guards for nothing. Do you know what I mean?
It's the same in Dublin.
Same in town.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Not Dublin, town.
Town, yeah.
Certain areas.
Yeah.
English and Talla. You don't ring the guard.
Not to tell. You handle your own business.
Yeah. When you're in Dalkey, you ring them.
My wife is from Dalkey.
There you go.
But she, and first couple of times, like there was a few, like, you know.
No disrespect. Moments. No disrespect. How did you pull that one?
Yeah, I know, yeah.
How did you pull that one?
They're fucking jokes, lads. They're class. You should all get into the jokes. They're class. No, she was actually living in England, and she was running a couple of nightclubs and stuff, and she wants to book Irish musicians and Irish comics coming over. So she just got in contact, and it didn't happen. Anyway, she was moving back, and that's how we stayed in contact. And just when she moved back, I was living in Dublin anyway, and when she moved back home, that's where the chat happened. Turned out I was unbelievably fucking charming as well, to be fair. Boy. To me. But yeah, I think she had a thing for the country, kind of culture kind of thing. Also, she won't say it, but I'm pretty sure she gets a grant for marrying me. Like, do you know what I mean? So just, it's a thing. It's a thing, like, you know what I mean? Like, you obviously get one for your culture, miss.
A dowry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A dowry. So.
Do you like that? Yeah. Do you want to explain where a dowry is, or will I?
He's after getting a handful of goats.
You get like a little present for taking the daughter off the hands, basically.
He's probably got 2 acres below, a couple of cattle.
Tom, with every guest, we'd like to know where you're from. What was life like growing up for you?
South Tipperary, like I said. Yeah. It's a place called Banshee. And it was... Do you know what? I was only talking recently about it, that I'd no grasp of poor or rich or class. Everybody was kind of poor.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it wouldn't make a difference if you had money either, because there's no fancy road. It's the fucking road or the mountain, one or the other. Like, there was no grasp of, oh, you've more than I have, because nobody had fuck all. It was, you know what I mean? It was the mid to late 80s in Ireland, in rural Ireland. Nobody had fuck all, but it was wild. Like I learned to drive when I was 7.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I wanted to drive to my communion. Not joke with you. That's just the parents. Come on, jump in. My twist. Come on, to fuck. I'm making a few pounds today. But, you know, again, it was good. Went to a country school. It's funny to see my own... We've moved back there. We were in Dublin years, and we moved back there with my small family. And it's mad to see the school now, because in my memory, it was just an old fucking building, you know, green walls and stuff. And it's all a happy, happy place now of learning and care.
Yeah.
You're all special. Everybody gets hugs and shit. It's like, Jesus Christ, I didn't get a hug till I was about 32. Do you know what I mean? And even then it was weird. But yeah, grew up, went to school in Tiptown. Bit of a tough school. Rough fucking school. Like, it was trying to explain that to the missus. Like, she went to a school where there was a Rothschild in her school. Like, that's what I...
Fuck off.
Yeah.
Not, yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and she was... I remember one of the first dates, she was asking me, she goes, well, what time in the morning do you guys do your hymns? I'm like, I don't know what a hymn is. She's like, your hymns.
A hymn and
like,
a hoe.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, I'm not, is this a code word for something? I mean, does it mean having to fight a traveller young fella behind a prefab? Because I did a fair bit of that. She's like, no, singing in the morning. I'm like, I didn't. What the fuck kind of culture shock is this? Like, trying to explain our school versus her school. But still good. Went from there, believe it or not, I went to college. I know it was a surprise to everybody. But did engineering, did civil engineering. and kind of pulled out a bit earlier because it was like, this fucking classroom stuff. But
sorry, Tom, the dropout rate from engineering to comedy must be fucking through the roof.
Oh, yeah.
I'd say so. Yeah, I kind of, but I enjoyed the sites though. I went working the building sites then, like, you know what I mean? Because again, as country lads, you start working very early because that's just what you do. What the fuck else are you going to be doing? Like, you're expected to be a man fast. There's none of this, sure, he's only a young fella giving 2 hours a week in Tesco. Fuck him. He's doing 50 hours a week, put a 50kg bag on his back. Fuck him up the fucking ladder. You know what I mean? Like, there was no soft run-in. Like, it was, you're taking the job of a man if you got a job. Like, there is no kids' jobs. But, yeah, no, I enjoyed the sites then. Fucking loved building sites. That was wild. Where wildness lives, like. Do you know what I mean? You can fuck a rock at somebody's head if you have a
We own the sites up here.
I did a couple of jobs up here, but mostly in Cork.
Mm.
Big, big jobs in Cork. It was all during the boom times, lads. We were making a fucking fortune. It was class. I had a tuxedo and everything. Imagine. You'd never know when you'd need to bust it out, for fuck's sake.
Oh, that's a sign that you had a few quid. Like,
oh, yeah, that and a brand new Land Cruiser. You knew you were fucking doing good, like, you know what I mean? But it was, no, I just loved the headbangers. Do you know what I mean? They're all Willa White. Do you know what I mean? They're all Willa White.
Yeah,
Fucking, everybody's a lunatic. Anything goes and nothing safe, like.
Yeah, all my mates walked on sites fitting windows and they all tell me stories and how, like, you know, they'd be bleeding. There'd be people fucking guiding the crane operator. Oh, big huge panes of windows and like someone would come behind and he'd pull his blade and jocks down, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's there like yeah and then someone come behind and just pull his jocks down and leg it, and I'm like, there's a crane operator waiting for him to tell him which way to go with a pane of glass,
2 ton pane of glass
like that could go horribly wrong, and they'd be like, Arnold, we did this and we did that. They don't give a fuck. Like,
I was running a small site up here. It was only about 15 houses out, it's now kind of the Bray Road. It was out heading towards Bray. That was years ago. But showed up one morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, and your man, one of the lads, the scaffolders, he had the fucking gate locked with his own padlock. What the fuck are you doing? It's not a fucking hope. That's not a hope, my hole. I'll use your fucking head to open that padlock if you don't get it fucking open. Nah. Not unless the bill is paid. What fucking bill? And it was the fucking drugs bill. None of the rest of the lads who'd been buying drugs off me had paid up. Like, what the fuck kind of dimension have we slipped into? Would you fuck off at yourself? Nope, nobody's getting in. Right enough. I could do nothing about it, really. Like,
writing an invoice for an eight.
Yeah. Lads just had to go, oh, fuck, right, fair enough. You know what it's like. I'm like, no, I don't, you lunatic. And queue of lads inside the fucking Stata or the Circle K up the road at the ATM just getting out cash for your man to pay him, like, to how he'd open the... He had, like, it was his set padlock that he had to bring to sites that where lads owed him money. Like, now, put that back in the glove box, you prig. Fuck. But wildness, that's where wildness lives. And then... It was, from then there, the arse fell out of the country. We all kind of went into separate things. I kind of ended up in an officey job that you can kind of guess I'm not really built for officey jobs. Yeah. Like spitting on the floor and kicking bins over when I'm half take, you know, that kind of way. You're not, that'll scare Nora. You know what I mean? That's going to scare Nora behind the desk. Like, you know what I mean? When this fella starts spitting. So for a finish, it was a woman I was working with. She was good crack. And she'd kind of suggested, I made up a bit of a story from this mad joke that was working up in the shop up the road. And she laughed so hard she bust a blood vessel in her nose. And we'd take her up to the hospital to get her nose cauterized. And she was like, man, you have to be telling shit like that on stage. I'm like, what? Yeah, whatever. No concept of what she was talking about. She took that and ran with it. And she rang a couple of comedy clubs around Cork at the time. She said, hey, myself, the husband, and a couple of lads, there's a new bar after opening the town. Pure lilac. We're going in. I said, I never drink with any fuckers. I'm not going anywhere near. She goes, ah, no, it'd be good crack. And none of the fuckers from work are coming anyway. In I go, fucking comedy club down the back. The fuck is going on? Overcomes the late, great Billy Anderson. He was a great comic, American guy. He comes over. He says, you, Tom? I went, fuck, everything tightened up. I mean, everything tightened up. I said, what? He says, told you to do funny. You're going to do 5 minutes. I said, am I fucked doing five? What? I'd never in a comedy club before. Never in any performance sort of space before. And I said, fuck off. No, he says, no, you're grand. I would never put you on stage. He says, I'm just saying, your friend put you forward for it. Why don't you do it? I went, yeah, whatever. But I had a savage night. Unreal night. Got locked. Brought all the boys there the next night. Got locked. Woke up Sunday. Big owl hangover. Down the local spa in Passage West where I live in Cork. Getting the old brekkie roll. And there was a poster with my fucking name on it. In with a bunch of other lads. I went, there must be another fucking Tom O'Mahony. So I rang your man. I had his number. I rang your man. He says, hey man, you excited about the gig? I was like, what fucking gig? He said, you agreed last night you were locked out of your fucking brains. You went, I can fucking do that. I went, fuck off. He goes, well, what are you going to do, bitch? And he said that magic word. I went, oh, you tramp. He fucking knew it. he fucking knew what word to push. I went, oh, Jesus fucking Christ. So I had a week to stew to try and come up with some material. Oh, my fucking God. And all week, that inner pussy inside your head, we're going, come on, you fucking pussy. What, are you going to chicken out from this? Are you going to chicken out from this? So did it, did the gig. And it was in a soccer club, like. Couldn't have been, you know, a more inhospitable fucking scenario. But the weird thing was, I said it to one mate. Of course, he told fucking everybody. I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. Sisters and everything showed up to this fucking gig. I'm like, oh, Jesus, Mary and Joseph. I remember he handed me a bottle of beer. And I just, it was like a fellow who was sitting on a fucking washing machine. I just shook it all over the fucking place. I didn't know what the fuck was happening. But they were, what I didn't realize, they were all terrified on my behalf as well. They were like, ah, oh, Jesus Christ, Tom, why are you doing this to us? I said, I don't fucking know why I'm fucking doing this to you. I said, I'm just going to go up. Now, the only saving grace is that the lineup was one of the worst lineups you've ever seen in your life. It was shocking shit. And there was that kind of pity vote you get as well from the audience. Everybody else is kind of glad to see, ah, oh, well, I can put myself in his position because he's, this is his very first time doing it. And there was some semblance of three little bits in it that made a set. I had some order to myself anyway. And it was laughs. And that's all that mattered. I was king of the fucking world afterwards. After that, it was like, Jesus fucking Christ. I think I'm addicted to this now. I think I'm a comedian. I'm going to quit everything. And now I'm a fucking comedian. Which is a fine line between unemployed and a fucking professional comedian. I can tell you that. But that was it. That was the Kickstarter to it. I was like, nah. Never not doing this. This is the fucking best thing in the world. Holy shit. Nothing compared. It's class. Just a little more.
You say you're open for the two Johnnies?
Yeah, there and in the Marquee. It was fucking mental. It was mental. It was wild, wild.
Yeah, what's it like opening for them in the Stray Arena?
Like, because they're not expecting you either, like, you know what I mean? It's, you have to kind of fucking put a statement down early, yeah, like, because you're doing 25 fucking minutes, like, and they've come to see the two lads talk about hurling and silage, like. No. But, like, it was cool because I did the first ever podcast with the boys. The first ever one.
The first ever episode?
Their first ever live show.
Yeah.
And they did my podcast. And then a week later, Johnny B was going, how do I start a podcast? So I was like, this is how you start a podcast. But they already had a huge fan base anyway.
So
from
you
their
created
sketch.
The two Johnny.
I created.
So
I
you're
created,
the tour Johnny.
Yeah. I'm that fucking, the weird brother that hides in the stairs. Yeah.
You're like Bladen Hansen. They're like Hansen. Basically, three is a Hansen.
Three Hansen. Just
three Hansens, yeah.
Yeah.
Where are they now? Where are they now?
Where are they now?
Yeah.
They're fucking... But yeah, it opened for it, went out, and it was... Oh, I was fucking brilliant. It was mental because it's fucking really hard to... The sound is shite.
Right.
Unless you've inner ears. But you wouldn't really have that for fucking stand-up. Like, you'd be some wanker if you're them in for stand-up.
Some like Usher.
Yeah. Like fucking
some fella, Tom, knock, knock, and you're, knock, knock! And then, right, now go... Orange, you glad? I didn't say banana.
And that was the thing. You go out, and your ear actually has to tune in to what level they're at. Because I'm going, the first 10 seconds, you go, these cunts aren't laughing at all.
Mm.
And, oh, wait, they are fucking laughing. Because you can't see a fucking thing. It's just a blanket of black and just fucking lights of people's phones. And then you hear whatever decibel they're at, it's not what your ears are normally at. When you tune in, you're like, thank fuck, there's 13,000 decons. Thank fuck you're laughing. Like,
Yeah.
Thank fuck. It was...
But, are you nervous?
Yeah, before that one, yeah. Because it's the unknown. It's so mad. You're walking on this mad stage. There's a 40-foot by 40-foot screen of your head behind you. And it's, you can't see any fucker, like. And you're just, you know, you play typically theatres or comedy clubs. And then you walk out into this, like, fuck, I'm looking up at fucking 80 degrees and you fuckers are still there, like. You know what I mean? You're 100 metres back. So it was wild.
And it's not your show.
And it's not my show, so you've got to lay down a marker dead. You got to tell them what the fuck you're doing there.
Yeah.
Not just some fella out to sweep the stage before the boys come on, like.
Yeah.
So you do tell them literally what's happening, like.
What's that crowd like? Because I heard they have the record for the bar in the Tray Arena.
They're wild. They're fucking wild country bastards. Like, you don't know what's going to happen. There's going to be riding. There's going to be drinking. There's going to be all sorts. They're just, there's an air of anything could kick off at any second. Like.
Yeah.
It's like a really big comedy club. That's what it feels like. A huge big comedy club. Because everybody's kind of there out to enjoy the shit out of themselves. A lot of them have come to Dublin for the nights. So they're like, I'm all in.
Yeah.
I'm all in. Chips across the table. Let's go.
It's like the 8th of December, isn't it? When all the coaches come to
That's
Dublin
exactly
to do their
it.
Christmas shopping.
That's exactly it.
Why the 8th of December?
I have no idea. Do you know about this?
Yeah.
So this is a big culty thing. I never knew this. Obviously, because my missus from Wexford, she told me on the 8th of December, they got the day off school or no? And they'd all come to Dublin and do their shopping. It's a holy day.
It's a holy day.
Our producer Siobhan is also a culty. She's our resident culty. She's from Galway. She said it's a holy day. So the two Johnnies, that's one to look out for, Terry. Look at their dates. Because they do play around December in Dublin, don't they? In the Tree Arena. It's probably the 8th of December.
Oh, it's not far off it. I think it's like the 14th or whatever. Like, they know lads will be getting a good coat or whatever. Like, they'll be coming up. The boys are well tuned into that stuff.
A good
stuff.
Barb or jacket.
Yeah. They're well tuned in.
How many times have they done the Tree Arena?
Go a few now, isn't it?
I'd say four times at least. Anyway.
Sold out every time?
Every time. It's sold to the wall.
They make it an annual thing, don't they?
They do, yeah,
it's like
yeah.
Christmas thing.
And then they've their summer one then either in... Is it St. Anne's Park?
I was in town the last time they played in St. Anne's. And I swear to God, I was like the All-Ireland final. Yeah. It was Colty's wall to wall. And a Colty got smart with me. I was in the chipper, me local chipper. And there was a Colty there. And I was like, what the fuck is going on with all these Colty's here? And he was like, well, you're not at the two Johnnies. I was like, do I fucking look like I was at the two Johnnies?
Stand there in the traction.
I was. And this fella had a check shirt on. I was like, what is going on?
A brown winkle.
He was like,
he did. No,
two
he did.
Stereotypical bastard.
That's what it was.
Each other down from two different worlds.
It was the start of a bad joke, you know what I mean? Yeah. But I was like, you're going to sit in St. Anne's for the whole day. Why are you wearing shoes and a check shirt? Dress for the occasion.
Oh, yeah. He's hunting women at that stage, too. There's two jobs on the go there. Get locked and hunting women. You can't show up dressing like you're going to the fucking gym. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Comfy, though.
Comfy, yeah, but your flute's always on display to the world. That's the only problem with that. I love a good tracksuit, but every time I look down, it's like my flute is like on day release from prison. It's like, here we go. Let everybody have a look at me. I'm like, no, put you back in normal trousers. Thanks very much. You fucking bastard.
Tom, what would you reckon the maddest job you've ever had was?
The maddest we were just talking, but I think the maddest one I ever had, or the strangest description you'd write down on paper, say I used to teach people how to drive Ferraris and Lamborghinis. Yeah, both. We all kind of agree that's a fucking weird job.
Yeah,
it was to supplement the starting of stand up. So I was doing stand up for next to no money, but the side gig I had was at the Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays for a couple hours. You can buy a present for someone for your dad or whatever.
You go to Mondello or something, yeah.
Or you get a spin in it or somebody teaches you. But that was me, this English company. I don't know how it really fucking happened. But before I knew it, I was living in Inchicore and we had a garage, an empty garage. The landlord had a garage. I never said nothing to him. I had three Lamborghinis and two Ferraris inside it. I never told him a fucking thing about it. But you'd take your dad or whatever, you'd meet up with him out in the Lucan Spa. And I had controls, all right, set controls. I could reduce the speed and stuff like that and everything. But rarely would you get somebody trying to fucking actually go mad. Because as soon as you start up a 500 horsepower car, everything fucking, the hardest fucker goes quiet at that. But yeah, did that for a couple of years. But I think the oddest one that keeps on coming back to was the acting gig with Damo and Ivor. Because people, the association are like, because the face I have for the bits of telly I've done, like Damo and Ivor and Bridget and him and stuff, people don't know who I am, but they look at me with that look like, did I buy a horse box off you one time? that's the look I get all the time. I went to school with your father, I'd say. That's the look. And herself has had to get used to that over the years, going, oh, your man's looking at you. I'm like, and then you look over and some fella just going, well, you're like, all right. So I still don't know what it's for, but more often than not, it was Damo and Ivor. And that was the maddest one because I was kind of the only person in the lineup, I suppose in the lineup. Fucking lineup.
Start
tell you how much
like.
I knew about how much I know about acting, but the in the actual cast that wasn't from roughly where you're supposed to be from, like everybody else was kind of from, like Spuddy, Louis from Ballymun, like the rest of the gang were all kind of Fox Rock, and then this culture rocks up, like, you know what I mean?
Well,
but the accent was, nobody seemed to pick up on the accent, people seemed to believe it, but all I was doing was ripping the piss out of herself, our brothers, just ripping their accent. So I was actually giving you absolute scumbag. Jesus Christ. Looking at you two, I feel like I need a fucking tetanus shot right now. You're fucking disgusting me. I'm glad there's at least 4 feet between us. This is fucking horrible. But people bought it, right? And I'll never forget, we were in a taxi one night. I was driving out and I was sitting in the back. And I'm coming over one of the bridges over the canals and the taxi driver would be looking. He'd be looking because it was doing, like, it did savage numbers. It was up there with Love Hate at the time.
Yeah, it was big at the time, yeah.
Fucking huge. And your man was looking and looking. He goes, it's yourself. I says, does yourself? And he didn't listen really how I spoke at the beginning. I went, yeah. He's Damon Ivor and all fucking fair play to you. Tarquin, is it? I says, yeah, tis, yeah. You could see him kind of going, what? What's the accent? What? Oh, I says, no, I'm from Tipperary. I'm a culture. You could see him. He wanted to fucking spit in my face. He went, I says, everything all right? He went, I don't believe in it. I said, you don't believe in what? Ah, oh, you know what I mean? You're there and you're fucking bad enough, your man from fucking Love Hay. He's from Kerry. Fucking disgusting. Planning to be a dub. I went, what? Lad, I didn't come into your fucking house and lie to you. Like, your man was thick with me for doing an accent and fooling him on television. I said, do you know how, like, not all people in a wheelchair are actually in a wheelchair on telly, like. Do you know, some of them are actually, and your man was, all right, we'll say no more about that. And drove, like, the most awkward more 10 minutes back out to fucking Inchicore. I'm like, Jesus Christ, this is that. And then, but mind the likes of that fella, it's when you meet the actual Tarquins then.
Yeah.
My actual God, man, how are you? Where did you go to school in Clongowes, did you? I'm like, what? And they look at you like the last thing you ate, you skinned it alive and ate it raw. Do you know, oh my God. What the fuck is pouring out of your mouth right now? I'm like, what? You're like, Jesus Christ, he's still saying it. Tarquin, what the fuck? Like, I'll never forget one guy was on the phone one night coming out of a pub and I was walking into it. I went, no, my fuck, hold on, switching to fucking video call. And I went, what the fuck is it? He switched, he went, Torx, say hello to my, and it was like some woman, his bird. I went, all right. She goes, what the fuck is happening? Now, I'm in the middle of a street. People are walking past and this woman is going, what's happening? I don't know what's fucking happening. Your man's behind going, it's fucking Tarquin, you stupid bitch. Look in my face. I'm going, I'm giving up this acting shit, lads. I can't be fucking dealing with this. People are taking this stuff too fucking seriously altogether. Like,
yeah.
But there was a couple of years of right oddity that came with that, like, that I wasn't ready for at all. I was like, no, I'll just stick with stand-up.
How would you even get involved in that though?
It was, I did the Republic of Telly stuff first. Because
yeah.
I ran into Andy, who played the two characters. At a do, and he was in full character mode. And I just found myself turning into the Tarquin character, just going, Jesus Christ, because he was full demo mode. And he, at this thing he was doing, he was hosted on behalf, I think it was an album launch or something. And I just started ripping into him. And he started roaring, laughing, fuck, that's not bad. And when we got chatting, he got me onto the Republic Telly. We did some sketches. And then from there, then it got commissioned. And but they had to, we'd all cast for our own part, we'd all redo for our own parts. And it was 27 lads went for. Apparently Tarquin. But the one thing that did it was, there was a bit where you had to talk through a letterbox. And I never broke character because I didn't know to do you break. I didn't, this is my first time ever in one of these things, in a casting. Like, I didn't know which you did. So you were to talk through a letterbox. So I stopped at a hardware shop there on Camden Street and actually got a letterbox, ripped off the front of the letterbox and stuck it into my pocket. And it was to camera because the director was somewhere abroad at the time. So everything was to camera. Somebody was feeding you the lines. So when it came to the letterbox thing, I just put it up to my eyes and said, dude, seriously, are you fucking in there? You know, and your man went, I don't know if that fella's ever done it before, but the letterbox thing, he got the fucking gig for that. So I didn't know if that was a thing. Other people were going, genius. I'm like, I don't think it was. I literally read it like it was on the page and did what it said. That's all I did. I just did what it fucking said in the page. Yeah. So maybe my stupidity got me the fucking gig or whatever, but it was weird. It was weird. It wasn't me, that world, like VIP shit, and that wasn't me at all. Like they were velvet ropes and stuff, and you're going, but sure, it's the same place. Like, yeah. What makes this seat special to that fucking seat? And this shit was going on for 2 years solid. Like, so I was like, nah, I'm okay for the acting. Thanks very much. No, I'm all right. It's not for me.
Yeah, I don't think you need to worry about coming back anytime soon.
No.
Okay, into that.
Comedy though. You told us about your first gig.
Yeah.
How does it take off for you then?
Sorry, I keep forgetting that we have this.
Oh, we got a present.
I brought
then
you.
You need to go rock, paper, scissors for who gets it.
I'll let you have it, Harry.
Why?
Why not?
Because you're not eating too much chocolate in the last week, tell the truth. He's mad that into the High Rocks.
Oh, yeah?
And he rarely breaks his old diet and all, but he was eating a lot of chocolate in the last week. He was giving out earlier on.
Fair enough.
I had a couple of Easter eggs.
Yeah, a couple?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
How many did you have for breakfast?
Would you get, like, I can't, I first couple of bites in, like, I had that Dubai chocolate shit. I'm like,
See that? That's the biggest.
What a load of shite.
That's what you know.
I'm hearing good things. I haven't had it yet.
And I'm hearing it's 20 something euro a bar of chocolate.
Don't believe the hype. Don't believe it.
Exactly. It's one of the things on Instagram.
That's all.
Remember, people were eating sea moss and all. Fuck off, will you? You put that on Instagram, people are going to buy you.
Here's the thing. Find me a cow that makes milk in Dubai.
There you go.
Yeah.
All a point.
Do you know what I mean? At least if it comes out of this place, you go, ah, well, there'll be a cow somewhere that made the milk to fucking go into it. But Dubai, I'd go out on a limb and say they're milking fucking something else.
But anyways, thanks very much.
You're more than welcome. You can't come with your fucking hands swinging. You got to bring something. So I brought you a chocolate.
Well, not everyone brings something, so.
He gave you a chocolate cock.
Yeah.
I didn't want to say it was a chocky cock, but I don't know. I don't know the sex of what I brought you, but. There you go. Chocolate fucking foul.
Thanks very much.
You're more than welcome, Terry.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Chocolate quail, is it?
have some diabetes on me.
Just a little more.
Right, listen up. If you're doing your leaving cert or you're thinking about going back to education, but the whole points race feels like it's standing between you and your potential, there's another way to access a fully recognised bachelor's degree, and applications are open all summer.
It's called a tertiary bachelor's degree. You don't need points, you won't pay fees for the first couple of years, and you can start your studies close to home.
Developed through the National Tertiary Office, there's over 40 degree courses to choose from across the country, from business, social and health sciences, to sport, engineering, design and more.
You start at a local ETP and then you move on to a partnering higher education college, graduating with the very same bachelor's degree as your fellow classmates. You also have access to all the facilities in both institutions from day one.
We're down in TU Dublin for the launch of some new courses next week, so check out the episode when it goes live or visit nto.ie to find out more.
So, after the first comedy gig, how does it take off for you?
It's quite simple. You're working for nothing for a couple of years, like, because either you want it or you don't fucking want it, like, one or the other. But the telly thing did help, all right, in all fairness, it did. It only that people could sell tickets with by putting that on the poster. That's all, really, like. I mean, are you any better? No. But you just gig like fuck from here to the UK, anywhere that'll give you open mics, and you just go. Fucking whatever you can do to get open mics, and bit by bit, then you're getting paid. But you can't take your foot off the pedal, and you have to continuously be trying to get good. I was very lucky that I'd fellas like the likes of Chris Kent, who was at it a couple of years ahead of me, so it was good to see the path. Do you know the kind of way?
Yeah.
And Kenty is no bother. Like, we used to truck the road some amount together. He's no bother in just giving you all the secrets. Going, no, this is what you need to be. This is the fella you need to be ringing. In fact, here, let me fucking put it in your phone for you. Do you know what I mean? And you've, like I said, I mentioned Billy Anderson. He was a great fella. Died a couple of years ago in a car accident, but brilliant fella for just going. He came from the American school where it's properly, there are levels, do you know what I mean? And there are proper routes and methods to becoming a stand-up. So he would kind of give you, no, you need to be doing this, and this is where you need to be hitting the high spots here. You're fucking repeating a word there. Think about what you're doing, where you do get to the point. So the actual nerdiness of it then, I became a complete fucking nerd for the stuff. Like, because yeah. there's algorithms to how you make a thing funny, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. There is a method to the art, like. And from then there, it was just you keep on banging the fucking wall until... Before you know it, then you do start getting booked for headline spots because they're like, oh, right, we can't be putting this fella on the fucking middle of the start because you have more gig time than probably the rest of the lads.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And you've taken it more seriously. So you find yourself just fucking doing better. So for a finish, they're going, no, we'll have him close the show. We'll call him a closer first before we'll call him a fucking headliner. And then then you are just an out and out headliner, like, you know what I mean? And that was kind of the basics of how it happened, but it was over long. It wasn't over 2 days it happened or whatever. It was a fucking 10-year fucking slog.
Because you've headlined your own show and comedy festivals in Edinburgh and all, haven't
you?
Oh, yeah. And up and down the country as well.
But that's it. Like, the new tour, again, starting, a couple of weeks' time. Like, but that's what you have to do. You have to just write a new show every year. Like, so that's what you're building all the time. Sure, you keep the gold. You have a pocket of
classic
gold.
Classic hits, like.
Classic hits. Now, in saying that, they go by the wayside too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And sometimes you'll get people going, hey, would you tell the one about the fucking truck driver? And you're like, what the fuck? You told it there 8 years ago in Wexford, and they're like, oh, you know, it's gone. And there is, after doing a tour too, so you do, some lads now, the likes of Kenty's doing a 100 night tour, but I'm not there yet, but it'll end up being like a 30 night tour or whatever. But even still, at the end of it, you're like, I am fucking done with all them words. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
You know, but even though they do change over time, like, stuff will be added and clipped and shaped and whatever, but you'll find yourself going, be writing up some new stuff. Let's get writing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, would you get bored of doing the same ones? Yeah.
Yeah.
You should have crowd would as well.
They do pick up on it, right? Like, it's not the same people coming every single night, like, whatever, you know, you're not fucking Christy Moore singing right on. You know what I mean? But it's the same people, if they do come back, they don't give a shit. They're like, I want to hear the same stuff again. They're like, I don't fucking want to say the same stuff again. But for me, it does change in it, because I tie in a lot of crowd work with it, because I want them to be, feel like they're part of the joke too, like.
Yeah.
So there'll be bits where I'll give it to fucking terror in the front, and you know, and the boys fucking, you know, and before you know it, then it helps you weave a new fucking story, so the show actually stays fresh enough for me then in my head, so I can tie it in through maybe 10 or 15 people throughout the audience, you know. And it makes it much more difficult but much more interesting to do in the end, and you're fucking all high-fiving, you know what I mean, because you all did the gig together basically. Yeah, then, like, yeah. Because I think I like comedy for different reasons, and I fucking love having the crack. I fucking love it. Some lads do it just because, you know, maybe they sheltered childhood or something, or they fucking hate their old one or something.
Until, we always say it to comedians, you have an alter ego and they all deny it.
Yeah.
But it's true. It is true. Yeah. They do change on stage.
Ah,
you they're different. Like, and they're all like, no. And like, you fucking do. And then when you say to them, what was life like growing up? And they're like, I had this and that happened. And I'm like, you're expressing yourself on stage that you couldn't do when you were younger. And you're telling us this now. But even though 5 minutes ago when you walked into the room, you were like, no, alter ego. I'm the exact same person now as I am on the stage. You're not. And it's okay.
Like if you were the same person, if I was the same person as I am on stage,
it'd be cancelled.
I'm a maniac. You know what I mean? Like there's never. But I mean, sure, look at lads, we're all having some crack. You know what I mean?
That's all that matters.
That's all that matters. And that's like, especially, I think it was getting it taken away from us for the time we were locked down. I was like, and when going back to it then, it was like, oh, I have a whole new appreciation for this. Mm. This isn't about me at all. This is about all of us in the moment, like, you know, because there's great, when you know it's a great night, when you can't even figure time or anything, you've all fucking lost it. It's a bit euphoric and kind of verbal orgy. You know what I mean? Like, there's a bit of a righty vibe at the end of it. You're like, fucking hell, we'll be able to all go for a fag after this. This is class. Do you know what I mean? There's a naughtiness to what you all did together in the room that night. Like, you know what I mean? Just boldness, because we were all kind of involved in it, but time has just kind of slipped by and nobody knows what's happened. That's what I want from comedy, rather than going, I need this for me. Fuck me. You know what I mean? Let's all have a right bit of crack together.
And what's the inspiration behind your new show?
This is pure devilment now, this new show. Like, it's taken, I'm still, and you always try to get better every year. Till I'm 100, I'll be trying to get better at this every single year. And you do, like, as soon as you rest on your laurels, things start to stagnate. And you're trying to sharpen, how faster can you get to the thing? And I notice too now, because there's a fan base coming, they're coming with 20% laughter already. Like the big acts won't tell you that. But the reality is, like, anybody going to see Kevin Hart paying whatever they're paying, there's 40% of the laughs are already bought. Do you know what I mean? They're already going, this guy's going to be amazing. You ain't convincing them. Do you know what I mean? Like, so there's already a good start. So now the inspiration is just boldness. See how far we can push it without being fuckers. Do you know what I mean? Without being a fucker about it. No nastiness at all. Like, but just see how far we can push. Just to make the odd person go, oh Jesus, every so often. Yeah. Just to see how bold we can push it. Like, so that people come away going, I haven't thought about rent. I haven't thought about the shitty world fucking scenario that's going on, right? Nothing. I just shut down for an hour and a half with Tom. Do you know, that's the whole inspiration, what's coming next.
Like. But I think comedians should have that, right?
I suppose, to be
able to push the bow out.
Listen, you go back to even medieval times. The jester was the ombudsman between the regular folk and the king.
Yeah.
And he always punched up. You never punch down.
Yeah.
You got to punch up. So the king's got to take it. That's kind of written into law. Now, the odd king, I'm sure, chopped the fucking head off one. Like, but he's supposed to be the go-between, to the buffer.
Yeah.
To make, at least he's our guy, to blast the fucking big fella.
Mm.
And he has the God-given right to do it because he's the jester or whatever, court jester. And that's what we're supposed, that's our job. Yeah. It's supposed to be that fucker between the big shots and us. You know, the kind of way.
I went to see the Book of Mormon last week and like that, it's exactly like the two boys from South Park wrote it.
Yeah.
And it's exactly like an episode of South Park. But I remember watching it and I was with my missus and she was like, oh, you know, like checking for the offside flag on a few of the jokes. And I remember thinking to myself, like, why are we still doing that? Do you know what I mean? Like, we know this is comedy. I hate the way the fact that, you know, when you see something online, you're like, I'm like, what am I wincing for? I know it's a joke.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, can we not just get over this now?
You nearly wince on behalf of the people who's going to take offence.
Yeah, but
and
like,
that's the worst kind, because it's never the person who's actually getting offended. Yeah. I've had people come up, like, rarely now. Rarely would you ever have somebody come up and whinge afterwards, because they tend to get it. If you bought a ticket, you tend to get it. Like.
Yeah.
But you do get the odd person going, oh, Jesus Christ. And you're like, it could be, like, one of the best heckle, non-heckles I ever got in my life. It was in Jobstown. It was Joe used to be, you know, Joe.
Yeah.
And Billy the course used to run a gig out there. And I fucking loved it because it was wild. I was wild. We didn't know, between us, me and the audience, we didn't know what either one of us were going to do. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, until me pull out my flute one night. Like, I was tempted to, just for the crack, like. Do you know? But I got a heckle, and it wasn't even a heckle. It was just an answer to a rhetorical question, but it was one of the most high five fucking moments ever. And again, it would have made other people go, oh Jesus, in a lot of other scenarios. But because they were after getting comedy savvy, just like their 10th show or whatever, a lot of them were comedy savvy at this stage. So they knew all breaks were off. The breaks were off. Nobody was worried about fucking who was looking in the window at us. We were all in this boldness together. And it was about seeing my walk for the first time and knowing I was a true culture. even though it was on national television on Day Mon Iver when I saw my walk for the first time, right? Because everybody, you don't think about your own walk. Terry, I'm looking at you right now and you're going, fuck, I have never seen my own walk. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it as soon as I have a look.
No, I've never seen it, but I know I'm a bit awkward.
Yeah, but you know, like, but you think you can pull off a bit of a cool one if there's a young one walking by?
I can do a little show, yeah.
I guarantee you look at it and puke all over yourself. It's the most... I swear to God, you know when the first time you heard your own voice back in this podcast, you're like, here.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, it's way worse than that. You look like a fucking newborn calf. It's disgusting. One leg dragging after another. It's horrendous when you see your own walk for the first time. It's so telling. Because all your life, you think you have a cool walk. I saw it in Day Mon Iver, right? And nobody had pulled me up on it. The director was real precise about a lot of shit, right? The accent, he was like, yeah, maybe if you can hit this. Never once said what my legs were doing, the stupid fucker. I didn't know. What did 6 episodes of fucking season 1. And it wasn't until I was driving a car up to a scene and the rest of them were all kind of standing around and I get out. And I remember I was down at the mother's place. Nobody had ever been on any kind of telly where I was from. And I went down to the mother's place to watch it. And I swear to God, I got out of the car and I went, and here's me again. And this fucking walk, lads, it looked like I was wearing wellies in the ploughing championship or something. It was just head up. Here's my head. My arse is coming. I look like a fucking chicken walking across. Big, culchy, muckery, mulliken. Like, I'm just going to do a bit of fucking barbed wire fencing. Like, just horrendous, horrendous fucking thing. And I threw it out there as it's a rhetorical question. I said it on stage this night in the Jobber. I said, have you ever seen your own walk? And what it's supposed to make people do is do exactly what you did, to think for a second, go, oh, no. But you don't fucking answer me. You don't say, I'm not, you don't do that. But Billy's brother just put his hand in the, he just put his hand up, quiet as could be. Billy DeGorsi's brother was sitting front row. He went, never seen it, Tom. And I looked and looked again. He was in a wheelchair.
Legend.
And I went, oh, lads, it turned into a black club. I was like, Bernie Mac, dropped the mic, jumped on top of him, big hug. The place went bananas. Yeah. There wasn't another joke told for 5 more minutes.
Yeah.
It went bananas. There was lads throwing drink in the air, kicking over tables. No, it wasn't Billy's brother, because, you know. It was fucking amazing. B.A.R. me whole. The whole place went, but we were, do you know what it was? It was euphoric and wild. We were all tuned into that one moment, and he set it off. Yeah. He called it.
Yeah.
He okayed it. And once he okayed that moment, it was like, I swear to God, I still think about that on a weekly basis. It pops into my head. That was an unzipping of some part of my brain that went, oh yeah.
Yeah.
That was a moment where we're all in the dance together. Like, this can be fucking wild if we want it to be wild. Like, if you're all willing to just take your trousers down a little bit, we can all do this. Like,
yeah.
And he did it that night. It was like, and he did it so subtly, no roaring or shouting. He just went, nah, never seen the Tom. And I doubled, I went, oh my fuck. It was
gold, didn't it?
Amazing. I was wheeling him around the floor and every lads, just the fucking best, one of the best moments ever in comedy because of the wildness of it.
Yeah, and that's a brilliant moment because you know it's comedy and I'm like, why are we wincing? It's not as if someone's just had to put up a tweet criticising people in wheelchairs.
Yeah. But I think we're getting better. I think we're getting better.
I don't
better.
Know, Teddy. I don't.
I'll tell you how I think that. What's that American fella's name? He's always viral. On
Matt Reif.
Exactly him.
Yeah.
He'd just be slating people in wheelchairs, like you said.
Yeah, yeah.
Blowing people, whatever. And I go into the comments purposely to be like, let me see if anyone's offended. And I never really see them anymore. Where I feel like if that was 2 years ago,
but you'd see you never actually see the jokes. You'd say like, oh, Tom and Matt and Eve Leighton said a controversial joke.
Yeah.
You're like, what's controversial about the joke?
For me, like, anything happening online is like, all right.
Do you remember Saturday Night Live did it? They did Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson and they were pretending to be drunk. People are like, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I'm not offended by that. As an Irish person who doesn't drink, I'm not offended by that. That was just shy.
Yeah, oh,
it was shy.
Saturday Night Live is shite.
You can just say it's shy. I'm not going to put up a big post being like, this is disgraceful, stereotyping Irish people. I can just say, this was a bad joke. Yeah. It didn't work. You know what I mean? And it's painful to watch.
Do you know what the great thing is? You'll never see those fuckers in a comedy club. You'll never see them.
Yeah.
If you bought a ticket, you're some dope if you're going in to get fucking insulted. You are some dope. And I once or twice you'll have people mishear you and stuff like that. And you know what I mean? But rarely. Like, I could count to one hand how many times I've had to deal with it. Your average person either says, shut the fuck up. Or if they bought a ticket, then also they've held their hand up to be rinsed by the public for buying a ticket and going, what were you thinking it was going to be like?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But I do think I'm seeing a flip in the last 6 months. I'm seeing a flip in people going, fuck this.
We're over.
Because we're over.
Yeah.
There's enough wild shite going on that if this fella's just talking on stage and he's very good at what he's doing and he's, you know what I mean? And there's no nastiness in it. It's all about context. Like, That's why you tell people, and you hear about the phones going in the pouches and stuff like that, and don't be pulling out your phone at the comedy gig, because you won't get the context of it. And there'll be some, you know, somebody's going to go, some tits or something, that'll be completely out of context. If that's put online, then the rinsing can happen, because you don't know what was said or what the vibe was in the room at the time. Like, but that rarely happens. I rarely have to even tell people now. And I run a couple of clubs at this stage, and they're so in tune, and the energy is so high in the room that you shouldn't. Almost people have to be told to take their phone out if they want to take a photograph. Like, rarely do you see anybody. What, like, the only time was about 2 months ago. It was a woman, she was an Asian woman, gas fucking. She ended up being some crack, but she just was addicted to taking her phone out and just start filming. This giant phone down in Cork. So I just took it off. I said, girl, I swear to God, would you live in the real world? She goes, what? I says, what? I am in the real world. I says, what are you fucking recording for, you mad fucker? I swear to God, that phone comes out again, I'm putting in my jocks. She went, and then about 3 minutes passed, and she just couldn't help herself, like a one light in a fag. She's just out with the phone again. I said, give it to me. Left the recording, put it down on my flute. Left it there for the next 20 minutes as a set. Warm as fuck it was too, when I gave it back to her. That's what you do. You have to nip it. You have to nip it in the bud. Everybody in the room knew I will never, ever, ever have to take my... I don't even have... That is burnt into my consciousness to never take my phone out in front of a comedian again, because he might put it up against his Mickey. Now, she probably had to burn the phone, because, you know, she looked like a clean sort of a person, if you know what I mean. She probably had to burn the phone afterwards. Like,
I don't think she expected that. Probably some jokes, probably some borderline jokes.
To be fair, I didn't expect me to do it either night. I didn't set out to do that. But she would. This is like the fourth time she took the phone out. And I'm like, well, I got to do something. She's winning now at the minute. Yeah. She's 4-0 up now at this stage. I have to, there's something has to happen here. I need to take some steroids, need to take the legs from under a few people. I need to beat this motherfucker. And I did. I did. Won it outright.
You're an impulsive old cat, aren't you?
It had to be done.
Yeah.
Everybody, you could see everybody was kind of going, what's he going to do? And what am I going to do, bitch?
He's a bit like you after 2 Red Bulls and in fifth gear.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
Yeah.
I feel like you could be me elfly.
Yeah. He's a bit like you, but you're more in control.
Yeah, I'll take that. I'm actually happy. That could be the nicest
that's
thing
nice.
You've ever said to me.
That's nice. That's no, there was love in that.
I mean, heard I'm in control.
He was being hypercritical, but...
It's called a backhanded compliment.
There you go. It's nice though.
That's maybe patronising to you now.
I like it, yeah. Thanks for filling that in for me. Would you record that and send it on to me, lads, just in case I ever need to find it out again?
Tom, when is the show starting?
So it kicks off down with the beautiful Fred Cook. I'm going to be down doing his two clubs in Dingle and Tralee on the 2nd and 3rd. And then we're off to Cork, Galway, Belfast, Tipperary. We're doing the whole island of Ireland, if you know what I mean. We're doing West Belfast. The north of Ireland, as I'm being told. That's what I'm to call it when I'm in West Belfast. Not Northern Ireland, it's the north of Ireland. So like, oh, no problem, absolutely. Yeah,
you buy a ticket, call it what you want.
100%, no bother.
And where do we get the tickets from?
If you go to tomomani.com, under the gigs section, they're all there. I make it very easy for people. Yeah. Just go to any link in any bio and I'll call to your house, lads, and drop them off if you need. Like, there's no bother. It's just... Sound like that, you know what I mean? Just don't take your phone out. You know what'll happen.
Yeah. And else you want to plug while you're here?
I have a couple of podcasts.
About 17 podcasts.
It's about 17 podcasts. I have a rugby adjacent podcast. It's with former Ireland international Anna Capeless, who lives the greatest life. She lives in La Rochelle. She's a player coach over there. And we kind of talk a bit about rugby, but mostly just slagging things off in the world.
You know Peter O'Mahony, newspaper, Ireland's his brother.
No, I don't know. I'm sorry.
Do you know that'd be class had he believed it? Did he know who Peter O'Mahony was?
No, I don't even know who it is. So
yeah.
Sorry.
Shite. That was going. I liked where that was going. And
the joke was going up. And
yeah. Fell right into a pothole there now. Dead.
Sorry.
Dead.
Yeah.
Fuck.
That was one of them flashed across the 6-yard box and no one went for it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Could have tapped that in there handy, but like everyone just looked at it.
Unfortunately, he just had his pockets looking down at the ground. But what the fuck? What the fuck was that? And then of another one. Brilliantly named The Tom O'Mahony Show, where I just interview every fucking lunatic from Pat Sharp.
You've opened for Tom Green.
I did. I toured with Tom Green. Yeah. Yeah. He didn't have a clue. Now he's lost again.
Toy level. Tom Green.
Well, he would have been the founding fathers of podcasting. Like, but he was. Freddie Got Fingered? No.
Did you ever see Road Trip?
No.
It's a fellow who eats a mouse in Road Trip.
Anyway, we'll work away. You chill out there. I did. That was a mad one, touring around Ireland with him.
Like, he's fucking, he's big.
I hate the fact that you weren't messing there.
We'll send you on the notes.
He's literally postured up and turned in towards me. He's turned his horn back on you.
We'll send you on the notes there. Be grand. Do you know what? I'll ring you on the way home. We'll stay on it together. We'll have an outright old chat afterwards. I'll break down this whole fucking thing that happened.
He's going to be, Tom, who's Tom O'Green?
Tom Green, he's, yeah, you'd know him the second you'd see him. He's a lunatic. He'd been, like, he's been on Joe Rogan a bunch of times. He would have, like, he would have been the inspiration for Joe Rogan to even start his podcast. Like, because he was ahead of the curve with a lot of stuff, but he kind of fucked himself with a few things, like.
Eminem, The Real Slim Shady.
Yeah.
No, Without Me, is it? What song is it? It's Without Me.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
Do you know that song? Yeah. No, it is The Real Slim Shady, isn't it?
I think it is The Real Slim Shady. He talks about...
My bum is on your lips.
Yeah.
Tom Green was the one who made that famous. He used to go around putting his arse on everything. But he says in it...
Yeah.
About it's cool for Tom Green to fuck a dead moose.
Yeah.
He's a lunatic. Like the first shock, proper shock comedian.
He used to go around just doing mad shit and putting it on the internet.
And was he married to Drew Barrymore for a while?
Yeah, he's gone off the grid now, and he has a farm and all now. He's not on anything.
He's not on anything at all. Like, yeah. I think he
just grows his own food and all. Yeah, he's off the grid.
You mean off the grid, like he's gone off the Richter scale? Like,
no, off the grid as in like, just, like you can't get he has his own power, he's self-sustained, all that shit.
I didn't know whether you were saying he's gone off the deep end.
No, that's just what I mean. Well, go ahead. Yeah, I'm already at this comedy stuff, aren't we?
That's good. Good call back there. Like, yeah. Yeah, it was good crack. And until they told me, like, I rock up and he didn't tell me that he was bringing a videographer and his missus. I'm like, huh? And, like, a suitcase the size of fucking, like, you'd fit two bodies. I'm like, what the fuck? So I had to go to the airport to rent a fucking big Jeep for the weekend. But we were late getting to Limerick, but ended up, it was good crack. Quiet fella. But then bit by bit, we started sharing jokes. And it was the most obscure things I was giving him. Like jokes, like obscure things. He was howling at him. He's like, can I have that? I'm like, absolutely, because I have no use for that. That will not fit in anywhere. Well, do you know, but he was a hell of a nice fella. Like, you would not think he had been as famous as he was, like, you know what I mean? But still packed houses, still packed Vicar Street, packed everywhere we went, because they were all, and he would give them what they wanted towards the end.
Yeah.
He'd go, all right, throw a line. Even though he was like, I fucking hate myself for doing this. Go on, throw me a line from one of his many famous lines, Jer. Don't worry.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Wikipedia, I'll send you on a load of stuff afterwards. Retrospectively, you're going to fucking love this chat. It's going to be class. But he was. It was good crack. But surreal. When it ended, I'm dropping him off to the airport. I'm like, did I just fucking go around Ireland with Tom Green for a week? I fucking did. Okay. Just bizarre. Yeah. Bizarre, like, but great crack.
To me, that's more obscure than opening for Tommy Tiernan. You'd be like, oh yeah, that's great. But like, Tom Green, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's it. And a week later, I was opening for Tommy Tiernan in the same club and I was explained. And even Tommy Tiernan was going, fuck, that's wild. That's fucking wild. Tom Green was here last week and you were up. Jesus, do you only open for Tom's or what? Like, well, yeah, it would seem so. But it was even he was taken aback. He was like, fuck, he's proper famous. I'm like, yeah, but you're Tommy Tiernan. You're doing all right. Like, you know what I mean? But yeah, it was... I don't know how it came up. He was touring the whole Europe, I think, and he was filming it. And he was always thinking ahead. He was before lads. Now you can get, you'll see documentaries following lads on tour. He had this lad who'd been like a war fucking journalist or something following him around. He was brilliant following him around and videoing the whole thing and just doing interviews with people in different places. And we went to Blarney Castle and stuff and did all fucking touristy shite. Like, but yeah, he's always kind of been ahead of the game in whatever he's doing, albeit a total fucking lunatic, like, do you know what? But again, the same thing, quiet as a mouse when you're chatting with him, but you put him in front of a mic or a camera.
The alter ego comes out.
Anything could happen. Yeah. I mean, back in the day when he had his TV show, like,
yeah,
fucking, like, you are not doing that nowadays.
He'd been, like, bigger than the Jackass boys back then. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, long before them, like, he was doing mad shit.
And then he's made a load of money now. He's just like, right, fuck it.
Grand.
What else to be doing?
Legend.
Yeah.
It's the proper way to do it, isn't it?
Yeah. If you can hit that spot, but still, I think even if it would worth millions, you can still see it, like, you'd still have to do something like that, though. The crack is too
much. You'd cry if the balls...
The crack is too much, you know what I mean? Even millionaire status, I'd back away from the huge gigs or whatever if it had gotten to that point and just do clubs. Just do good crack clubs around the country, like, because the fucking crack is fucking savage. You know what I mean? Everybody's got, because it's all mad jokes. Like, there'll be a few pins in a hole, but rarely. It's normally good crack mad jokes. And people now, a big turning point would have been the roast of Tom Brady.
Yeah.
You can mark that down as being a turning point of comedy on people's wider fucking spectrum. Because that was wild to see that on.
Boy, what do you mean by that?
That was on Netflix.
It was on Netflix.
Well, notorious for being woke.
Yeah.
And then back then, that was only about a year ago.
That's all.
It was a year ago. And then they went on. They were absolutely, everyone got licked.
Hardcore stuff being said. Like, when
you need to start doing that here.
Well, I mean, they have good roast.
Yeah.
They have decent roast here. Like, you'd see it in Whelan's. They have it in Cherry and stuff like that. They have, like, if you keep an eye out for, like, Jim Elliott runs a couple of them and stuff. He's an American comic. And there's a couple of fucking lads that have gone very, very fun, like, hardcore. Like, they go in hard on each other. Like, they haven't done it to the production value level of, you know, like they did that night in the roast town. But some of the lads, like Shane Todd and the gang...
Yeah, they
I mean, that's a whole microcosm up in the north. What's going on up there is not going on anywhere in the world, like the way people are following comedy. It doesn't make any sense. There's only a million of them. Yeah. And yet, the lads are filling arenas. It's fucking bananas.
Mad, isn't it?
Bananas. Yeah. But they're doing killer roast now.
Yeah.
Where they're just hurtful shit, like proper hurtful stuff. But it's good. It's good.
It must be bad if he's offended by it.
He's awful. Yeah. Oh, I heard your voice cracking enough.
Yeah, yeah. Christ,
you felt bad for someone.
I had to text one or two of the lads going, well, we're here for you. We're fucking here for you after that.
Don't mind him.
Don't mind him.
Yeah.
You're bollocks. Never fucking liked him anyway.
Yeah, so tomomani.com for tickets.
Yeah, yeah.
And your Instagram is just
Tomomani Comedy, is it?
Comedy, yeah. So follow me wherever. I'll follow you. I'll follow you. I'll come home. Like, no. But yeah, you can find, I'll make it very easy for people to find tickets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, be great.
Hey, Tom, thanks for coming in.
Get the tickets, give them a follow, and a big shout out to our sponsor, FBT.
All gyms offer huge gym floors, so you won't be struggling for a bench on a Monday night.
FBT are Hyrox affiliated and have a heated vault, offering free classes in both.
Recharge and recover after a big session in the recovery rooms.
Whether you're a beginner or a seasoned athlete, FBT provide the resources, motivation, and expertise to empower your fitness journey.
Unleash your potential at FBT gyms for only €44 per month with no contract, full class access, and locations in Swords, Coolock, Drogheda, and now Tala. Sign up today at fbtgyms.ie.
Thanks very much for coming in, Tom.
Thanks, lads. This has been class. Class.
You're a legend.
All right, take us out, Siobhan.
Boom.
Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your weight in it now. Till your body is dead. Work it hard and slow. When you finish that.
The hip knocker.
Talking Bollocks with FBT Gyms. Unleash your fitness potential with no contract and full class access. FBTGyms.ie.
Go Loud. Sounds better with us.